أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. So dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to this year's Ramadan program, which has been titled The Transition. We're discussing the Akhirah, which is a very, very important discussion in Quran and Sunnah. And the idea is for you and I to get these reminders and to use these kind of things that we find in Quran and Sunnah to help us to become those best believers, inshallah, the elite soldiers of the Imam of the time. So when we began our journey into Barzakh, we started with the Qabr and those things that happen in the Qabr. As the Prophet told us in that one hadith, إِنَّ الْقَابْرِ أَوَّلُ مَنَازِلَ الْآخِرَةِ. The grave is the first of the stages of the hereafter. Now, one thing that I should mention, brothers and sisters, is that it is frightening, meaning transitioning from this world to the next, even for the believers, we're told is frightening. Even though, inshallah, we will be amongst those who get to see the Ahlul Bayt before we depart this world. That in itself is a great blessing. The believer dies easy. But does it mean that afterwards the grave is not frightening, even for the believer, that there's not concern? Or rather, that we should be like Imam Sajjad. Remember that one dua that we were reading where the Imam is crying about his soul leaving his body. So it is frightening. So now we're going to be talking about, if brothers and sisters remember, what we said was we're talking about the first stage of what happens in the grave. And again, we wanted to talk about it from a practical point of view, as in there are many things that are mentioned. Are there things that we can do to make life easier for ourselves while we're still living? We want to see if we can do that. Tonight, we're going to also spend some time talking about what we can do for our friends. Because you and I, we don't know who's the first from amongst the Hadi family or the other mu'mineen or mu'minat who we know. We might actually end up, either we're burying them, but maybe if we're able to do some of these a'mal for them, maybe somebody afterwards will do it, inshallah, for us. So remember that there were three things that we were going to talk about in the Barzakh, three main things, but then there were other subtopics all around that. So one of them was the interrogation of the angels, Nakir and Munkar. Inshallah, we're going to spend most of our time tonight, meaning a good part of our time tonight, actually talking about that. What is that? But then we said that there's also something else that happens for the believers and non-believers, which is the squeeze in the grave. What if we haven't done enough to ward off the squeeze of the grave? We need to find out about that. And then, of course, we had the other issue, which was our actions, our a'mal taking on a corporal form, right? That our actions, what we're doing right now we're sitting in a majlis of the Ahlul Bayt. Right now we've seen one another, we've passed salams to one another, we've told one another Ramadan Mubarak. We might think these things are small things. We recited Quran, for instance. We might think these things aren't important. Over there, though, we are both, I'll put it this way, we're both guest and host. We are invited to our own meal, if you want to say. Meaning our actions are what we're going to see. So that's going to take place as well. So what happens is, I am going to try and explain it in these three stages, but remember, for the mayyit, for the person who's dying, these things happen in real time. So we're talking about, okay, well, does this happen and this happen? But imagine someone who's in the grave and then these things are happening in real time and how scary it is. And just being in another world after being here and getting used to the rules here. When you go to the other world, there's completely different rules. And then you're seeing beings that you've never seen before. And then just that fear of the uncertainty of, well, did I make it or not? Because I mean, that's something else that they mentioned to us. If God were to deal with any one of us with his justice, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were just to call a spade, that would destroy us. We would, what hope would we have? Our hope in these discussions is never that we've done enough and so now we're relaxed and we're arrogant. We're hopeful. We do the good that we can, but our hope is Allah's mercy and Allah's kindness. So what happens is, the combination of these things, those three things that I mentioned going into this next world, makes the hereafter terrifying. And we're told, this is now in a hadith from Imam Ridha, he says, فَإِنَّ لِلْقَبْرِ أَحْوَالًا عَظِيمًا. There are some terrifying things that happen in that next world. This is let alone the sirat and all of those other things. Just the grave itself is terrifying. In some of our ahadith, it's mentioned that the combination of these things make it so difficult for the person who's leaving this world that the Prophet has said this, لَيْسَ أَشَدُّ عَلَى الْمَيِّتِ مِنَ اللَّيْلَةِ الْأُولَى. There is nothing more terrifying and more scary for the mayyit than that first night. Because after a while, things will get easier for the believer. For the believer, things will get easier. Inshallah, wait till you hear the end, inshallah, where the angels are giving us good tidings. Inshallah, we're one of those people. The angels are giving us good tidings. The door to heaven is open. It gets easier. The life in the barzakh, we need to talk about that. But initially, that first stage, the shock, the trauma of going through that is something that is terrifying. We learn from some of the ahadith that even after the ordeal is over, so let's say I passed that first stage and now, alhamdulillah, that still the mayyit is tired. The other amwat, the others who are there, they give that person, the new person who just came, some time because it's just so traumatic going through all of that stage. So our first discussion is, what can we do to make things a little easy for ourselves? Meaning, now for others, we're hopeful that if we do these things, inshallah, some will do them also for us. Because there's things that we're told in the ahadith that would make life a little easier for the mayyit. Now they're struggling, they need every bit of help that they can get. There's some things that might seem small to you and I, but for that mayyit, remember there's a hadith that I've shared with you before, where the things that you do, they're better for the mayyit than a dunya wa ma fiha. The mayyit needs every little bit of help that they could get. So we'll start off in that way with what are a few things that we can do for this person who's making this transition. The Prophet actually in this hadith, he tells us to have mercy on the mayyit. He says, farhamu mawtakum. Have mercy on your dead. Tilka layla. On that first night, that first difficult night, one of the things that was a little new for me was the idea of giving sadaqah. Number one. What is something we can do? One of the things that's mentioned is actually giving sadaqah for the mayyit. Warding off bala for that mayyit. By you and I, we're here, we can give some sadaqah. In addition to that, there's that very famous Turakat prayer. I'm sure you and I, we've seen it. Some of us, when our relatives have passed, will be the people who are, please, if you can, just recite a Turakat prayer. In some of the ahadith, there's another Turakat prayer that you can also give as a gift. But there's a famous one that you recite for the person. That one, ideally after Isha, the first night of the person when they're in the grave. Ideally after Isha, but they say anytime during that night, you can recite it for that person. And the effects of that are tremendous. I want to share one of the stories of one of our ulama. So one of our urafa, this great man, his student is the one who told us this story. I mean, we got it not from the araf himself, but we hear it from one of his students. Where the araf was someone who had a habit of reciting this prayer. And he would do it whether he knew you or not. So he got to hear that such and such mu'min or mu'min has left this world, then he would recite that Turakat prayer and he would gift it to the mayyit. And he said, nobody actually knew about this. There was nobody, I was doing this, this is just qurbatan Allah, I'm doing this, Allah knows. But the amwat were receiving that. He says, until what happened was one of my friends came. And when my friend came, then he asked, he said, I saw such and such. There was a friend, somebody had passed and he just left this world. He said, I saw this guy in my dream. And the guy told me, I asked him, I was like, what's it like on the other side? So the guy starts going through he says that it was terrifying. I was in trouble. He said, until this Arif, and he mentioned him by name, he made a Turukat prayer for me. And that saved me. That saved me. So then he came, he was like, prayer did you do? And it was that same one, the one. So that prayer, brothers and sisters, is something we can do for one another, and it makes life easy for the mayit, in addition to, of course, the sadaqah. Another one that's good for us to do, brothers and sisters, is for 40 of us to gather. Inshallah, there's 40 of us. We can get 40 believers to go over and testify and say that we don't know anything but good from this person. Allah also is mentioned in a hadith that if you testify, then a lot of his kindness, he will say, you say, I know things that you don't know. You're saying that we don't know anything but khair from this person because that's what we're taught to say. It doesn't mean that the person is sinless or hasn't made any mistakes. People can have made mistakes. But we know that they're Muslim. They weren't an enemy of Allah. We don't know anything but good from this person. You do that, God, out of his kindness, he'll accept. And the mayit obviously can use that. So that's another one of those things that we can definitely do. Another one that we're told to do is to not just leave immediately. Not to leave and abandon the mayit immediately and just to go back to not have anything to do with the mayit. Rather, if we can spend some time reciting Quran for that person, making dua for that person. Like we see with Lady Fatima when she passed, then she asked Amir al-Mu'mineen to stay behind and to recite Quran for her. It makes a difference. The person who's dying, the person who's dead, at that stage, having a person, a living person who's still reciting some Quran for me, checking on me, not leaving me, and not abandoning me is huge. Makes a tremendous difference to the mayit. So those are just some of the things that we can do. Oh, another one that's there that's mentioned also as another stage is for those who are closest to the mayit, the relatives. You and I were friends of the believers. Let's say this happens to one of us. God knows which of us goes first. They say that the relatives to stay there and then to do talqeen of the mayit from on top of the grave in a loud voice. By the way, there was one thing that I forgot. Now, alhamdulillah, came to my mind. And that is that you've seen in the risala that it says that there's certain adab that we should observe when a person dies. One of them is that we don't just dump the mayit and run. We bring the person close to their grave. We put them down. We bring them closer, we put them down. We do this three times, and the fourth time we actually put them into the grave. But then now when everybody's departed, some of those family members are staying behind, those people who are staying behind, now the idea is, can I do that talqeen for the mayit? And if we could do that talqeen for the mayit, it's mentioned in a hadith that Nakir and Munkar will say that, let's leave. And I'm going to get into the actual interrogation, how terrible that is. So that in itself, the idea that if this brings some relief for the amwat, this is, again, this is something which is tremendous and something definitely that we want to do. Now, the part that we're going to try and spend a little bit of time on tonight is the interrogation. And the interrogation, brothers and sisters, is very different to that final interrogation which we'll experience on the Day of Judgment. That's something else. This interrogation is more of a preliminary interrogation where the angels come to question us. It's mentioned that this is one of the things where it's a definite article of faith, something that we believe in. To this extent, the hadith is from Imam Sadiq, he says this, Man ankara thalathata ashya. The person who denies three things, falaysa min shi'atina. This person is not one of the Shia. You deny three things, this person is not one of the Shia. One of them is the Mi'raj. Somebody denies the Mi'raj. The other one is wal-musa'alata fil-barzakh. The idea that will be in question, that this interrogation will take place in the grave, fil-qabr. And then also shafa, that's another one of the things that's mentioned over there. What happens is we're told that this begins immediately after you and I are put in that hole in the ground. So in Nahjul Balagha, Imam Ali says this. He says that what happens is when the people who came to bury the mayyit, they leave. And then those who were mourning, the friends, the family members, those people who were crying over the mayyit, now that they've departed, at this time those angels descend. Now, what's very interesting over here is how different it is for the Muslim and the non-Muslim, for the believer and the non-believer. Now, I'm going to mention the bad news first. The idea being, inshallah, for myself, it's a reminder for all of you, even if you've heard these ahadith, it's good to get a reminder about them. Right now, we have time to make up for these things. Why wait until it's too late? It's very different for the believer and for the non-believer. What we're told in the ahadith is that when the angels enter the grave, how they look is very terrifying. So imagine, as I said, the state of that person who's now just been transitioned out from this world. But then now to be over there, and then suddenly these two angels come in. Some of the ahadith are very graphic with what happens to that person. It is said that they strip the mayyit of the kafan. They sit the mayyit up. And after that, the questioning begins. Imam Ali, in that hadith that I mentioned, it says that the mayyit is trying to whisper, kind of. They don't want to get the questions wrong, but they're rapid-fire questions by the angels. The angels, it's mentioned that they have voices like thunder, and their eyes are like blinding lightning. There's other details that they mention about the angels, about their fangs, about their hair dragging on the ground. There's other details that are mentioned about one of the snakes, a shaitan being entering into the grave. Snakes being unleashed on the mayyit if the person doesn't answer in the right way. All of these different things happening. And so that's what happens when the person is there. And then they start to go over and ask the questions. So right now, these first questions are about the preliminary beliefs, because the details are going to come later. Later on, for instance, let's say over here that we can ask about prayer and fasting and these kind of things, just the basics of it. Over there, then Allah will say, for instance, when you offered dhuhr prayer, what niyyat did you have? Right? Because there's another hadith that I had shared with brothers and sisters before where they said, on the day of judgment, then there's 50 stations, and each one of those stations is 1,000 years. Inna lil qiyama khamsina mawqifa. There's 50 stations on the day of judgment. Kullu mawqifin miqdaruhu alfa sana. Each mawqif, each station is 1,000 years. And that's where they go over each and every detail that the person did. Of course, unless the believer was able to do enough in this world, so there's one of those people who answers without hisab, because there are some people who are like that. There's some people who are but they're doing it here. They're taking care of it on this side. They don't want to face those nightmares on the other side. But otherwise, what happens is that preliminary interrogations happens here, and the basics that the angels are asking are things about our belief. Who's our Lord? Who's our Creator? What's our deen? And it's mentioned that the beating starts for those who are rejecting, those who don't answer correctly. The beating starts. I want to share a little bit of a story that's mentioned also. Again, to me, these stories, these help make it even more realistic. First of all, please send a salawat. عجل فرجهم. The story that I wanted to mention was about one of the ulama who I got a chance to see. So when I first entered into the Hawza, Ayatollah Araki was still alive. He was still alive at that time. I just saw him at the end of his life. I had no idea. I'm a new student. I can't speak Farsi. So it's not like I knew him or benefited from him or knew anything about him. But just you later on, you find out some of who these greats are. And he was listening to a story, meaning he told a story, not to me. He told a story about the person who wrote Mafatihul Jinan. So he says, I was there and I was listening. He was delivering a lecture and he was saying a true story about a time when he entered Wadi al-Salam. He said, when I entered Wadi al-Salam, he said that I heard these shrieks. He said the shrieks were so terrible, it was like a camel that was being cauterized. And he said what was so fascinating was other people who were there were just walking around and going about their lives. I even stopped one of them and said, do you hear anything? And the person was like, no. He said, I realized I was the only person who could hear this. So what happens is, as I said, the fundamentals are the things that are being asked about, because there's certain fundamentals. If we can't get those right, then the person won't even get to enjoy. For instance, we have a hadith that talk about abandoning the Hajj if one's capable of doing it. Let's say somebody has the money to go to Hajj, but culturally it wasn't that important. I didn't put that much focus on it. I've heard people say that I don't want to go there while the Wahhabis are there. The hadith about this are that you can choose to die as a Jew or a Christian. It's that serious. Or other hadith talk about the person who abandons the prayer willingly, intentionally. There's some people just, no biggie. I can just not pray. And marhum Ayatollah Father Lankarani said that abandoning the prayer intentionally, he said that's worse than drinking alcohol. Many of us as believing parents, if we were to see our sibling, somebody who was not praying, but they weren't drinking alcohol, they weren't on crack, then still would have a different, we wouldn't feel the severity as much as if we, but what he says is, so, and of course it doesn't mean that if somebody, God forbid, is not praying, then we immediately come down like a ton of bricks. No, that's another discussion. How do we help bring the person back? But how worried should I be if somebody abandons the prayer? So those are the kind of main questions that are over there when we first enter the grave. Of course, God forbid, if we're one of the wicked, then it's in that way. The angels also, they open a door for this person to the hellfire. Very harsh. The words that they exchange, there's a lot of things that are mentioned over there. Now, what we want to talk about is, inshallah, what happens if we're believers. Inshallah, we're amongst the good people. Inshallah, we're amongst those who are able to take care of our affairs before we go there and not have to face those horrors on the other side. Because the things that we're going to be facing are going to be our beliefs. What were our beliefs? Were they in line with Quran and Sunnah or not? Our actions? Inshallah, we'll get a chance to talk about what are some of the main reasons that people get those squeeze in the grave. If we were to know some of those things, we'd be able to avoid them. But anyhow, for the believer, we're told that the angels look very different. Imam Sadiq in one hadith, he tells, they ask, a man named Abu Basir asks the Imam, he says, do the angels, Nakir and Munkar, do they look the same for the mu'min and the kafir? The Imam says, no. Actually, one of those du'as, the things that we were advised for the month of Rajab, one of those beautiful du'as that we make, and now is the time, meaning the month time of Ramadan is when we can make these kind of du'as, where we ask Allah to save us from the interrogation. And instead of us seeing Nakir and Munkar, that we see the angels who are giving good tidings. So that can happen. The angels look very different. So first of all, for the believers, we're told that, inshallah, we're amongst these people. The believers are escorted. When they first die, they're escorted by the malaika. So first of all, alhamdulillah, they saw Ahlul Bayt when they died. After that, they're escorted by the malaika. The earth gives good tidings to them, to the believer who's about to be buried. Now, the other thing that happens is that the angels are very happy. Nakir and Munkar, they're happy when we give the right answers. The angels are on our side. They want us to win. After we answer correctly, just that preliminary discussion, then the angels tell us, ثَبَّتَكَ فِيمَا تُحِبْ وَتَرْضَى, that may Allah make you stay firm on those things that you love and that you're pleased by. We're also told that there's a call that comes from heaven for the believers. That caller that comes from heaven speaks on behalf of Allah, says, Sadaqa abdi, my slave has told the truth. And then they're told to put down carpet for the believer from paradise. In addition to that, they're told to open a door to paradise, and also that the person should be able to wear those heavenly garments. And then after that is when the angels end up expanding the grave of the believer until it gets so as far as the eye can see. And then after that also, the door to heaven. So we ask Allah, inshallah, to help us to be amongst those people who are able to pass this first test of the angels, the interrogation of the angels, and inshallah, have the comfort and the help of the Ahlul Bayt in doing so. We end with salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.